We're going to go to Proverbs chapter 3, and I wanted to share a little bit on the subject of trusting God. Trusting God. So, one of the current definitions, and I thought it was fairly accurate, assessment of how the word trust is used in our culture. But one definition is a firm belief in the reliability, truth, ability, or strength of someone or something. You know, kind of sums it up. advertisers are always trying to get people who are listening to their commercials to get that people to trust in their product or their services, you know, a name you can trust, you know, all these type of things. Because if you don't trust someone or something, you probably won't utilize it. Like, we get in airplanes, if we get in them, and we think and trust that that's going to take us from point A to point B without dropping us off early. You know, or otherwise we wouldn't get in it, right? Why trust something or get into something you don't think it's going to do what it says it's going to do? So, a lot of people vying for our trust. People talk about trusting me, or do you trust that person? Do you trust that vehicle or whatever? But God also wants us to trust Him. And He, of all, is the most trustworthy of all people or whatever. So Proverbs 3, very familiar verse of scripture to us all. Verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. And this is something that we never can grow out of. In a sense of it's information and knowledge that God wants us to have all of our lives, to trust in the Lord with all our heart. Not part of it, no reservations here or there, like, yeah, I'm trusting God in this area, but this other area I'm not quite sure about. We're to trust Him in all, with all our heart, which is amazing. And then in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. It's a great promise. So, let's go to Psalm 118. We're going to just look at some scriptures dealing with trust. As we know, God's the creator of the heavens and earth. He's the most powerful. He's got the most ability of anybody on earth. On earth? I mean, who else has created the heavens and the earth?
118.
And who else has no beginning and no end? And who else has fathered so many people? We're talking about some counsel. He's the father of all fathers. And just from what he said in manifestations today, He can take care of us. He loves us. He's done so much for us. So why not put our trust in Him? He has proven Himself many a time. Psalm 118, verse 8 says, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust the Lord than to put confidence in princes. You know, men are available, man's wisdom is available, man's works available, but it's not necessarily bad stuff. But there's nothing better than God Almighty. It's better to put our confidence in Him rather than the powers that be. Let's go to Psalm 146. These are just great scriptures. Many of them familiar to us. And wonderful thing, you know, God's Word talks about it being food unto us. And who of us has had a really nice meal, you know, like, say, your favorite meal, and you say, you know, I've had that meal, I loved it, it was terrific, but I never want to eat one like that again, you know. We all enjoy eating stuff that we like over and over and over. You know, same for God. We just love these scriptures. They're just a delight unto our souls. They tickle us on the inside. I think the older we've all gotten, it's just more and more enjoyable. You know, it's just more tasty, so to speak. So, Psalm 146, verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. That's interesting. No help. His breath goeth forth. He returneth to his earth. In that day, that very day, his thoughts perish. So man will die. So you put your trust in man. Well, someday that person's not going to be there. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseneth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. Well, that's pretty good. But look how many wonderful things that he does for people. And the wicked people, well, he flips them up. Upside down. Gives them a little rock. Not to mess them up in an evil way. He just wants to shake them up. Maybe they'll think about what they're doing. Let's go to Psalm 18. Psalm 18. And it is amazing the arrogance of man, that mankind sometimes thinks they're smarter than God Almighty, would rather trust in their own decisions than God's wisdom available to us. That's pretty haughty. Psalm 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and my tower, high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies. You know, again, God wants us to trust in him. Verse 30. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all that trust in him. The word of the Lord is perfect. The word perfect there means complete or whole or entire. You know, it's full of integrity. It's there's nothing lacking in the perfection of God's word. And the word tried there means tested or proven true. God's word has been proven true. So therefore, we can trust in those type of words. Let's go to Psalm 20. Now, somebody who's not trustworthy, you know, maybe they say they're going to do something and then they don't, and you trust that they would, and then the guy says again, yeah, I'm going to do this, and he doesn't. And after a couple hundred times of the same thing, we sometimes wake up and say, I guess this guy's just not going to do it. You know, you start to somewhere along the line say, I'm not going to trust those words anymore. But God's words are proven true. There's nothing in God's word that's his word that has not been proven true. And we've seen that countless times in our own lives. And that's just with our own experiences. Psalm 20 and verse 7. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down, and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. So the ones that trust in chariots and horses, they fall down. In other words, it doesn't work for them. It falls apart. But those who trust in the Lord, are risen. It lifts us up. It's just wonderful. It's so clear to us. It makes sense, but not everybody puts their trust in God. Psalm 34. Psalm 34. Verse 4. And this is, we're going to read most of this psalm, just showing the goodness of God to people. It says, verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, which is really amazing that he hears people, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear or respect him, and delivereth. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear thee. No lack, no need, because God takes care of us. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. What a wonderful comfort that is, knowing that he hears us as we speak to him, whatever it may be, small or great. It's just wonderful. Psalm 37, right in the neighborhood. There are so many scriptures that deal with trust just in Psalms. Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good, and so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Now, that's a nice comfort. You're going to eat. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. God is our helper. Psalm 44. Verse 5. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, neither shall my sword save me. But thou hast saved us from our enemies, and has put them to shame that hated us. In God we boast all the day long, and so praise thy name forever. We all have abilities, different types of abilities, but we're not to put our trust in them. We're to utilize our abilities, but not to trust in them. We should trust in God Almighty. Our abilities are a help, but I wouldn't want to rely on my own abilities to get me through life. That would prove for a quick failure. Psalm 143. You know, we just ask ourselves a lot of times, am I trusting God or am I worrying that something might not happen? I often think about trust in terms of little babies. We've all done it somewhere along the line where we take a little infant, whether it's our kids or other kids, and we'll hold them up. Sometimes, you know, people even kind of toss them up a little bit and catch them. And that little baby doesn't think, I wonder if he's going to catch me. You know, it's just enjoying the moment, you know, makes them smile or whatever. But you know, where that little baby is just in the dad's arms or the mother's arms or some adult, maybe even a kid, you know, and just is enjoying it. And that's sort of us. We curl up into God's hands and put our trust, our heart, right into His. Let's go to Isaiah. A couple questions that God had and statements that God had about His own people, Israel. Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. I don't know if I'll ever forget the many, many years ago, Peggy was teaching at, we were at a park or something, and she was teaching, and she made reference to go to Isaiah, but she just said Isaiah and then a number, and I heard Isaiah, and I thought she was going to say, I thought she said Isaiah, and I was waiting, okay, what are you going to say? And then people are turning, and I'm like, what are you going to say? But she was just saying Isaiah, and whatever the chapter was. I was just a little confused. Nothing that she did wrong, it was me. But every time I say the word Isaiah, I think of that incident. I don't know if you remember it, but I was like, okay, what is it? So Isaiah, chapter 30, verse 1. Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of the people that could not profit them, nor be a help, nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach. So, living life, God knows who's saying to him, hey, what do you think, God? And he's also aware of people that say, I don't even want to ask him. I'm going to ask or seek comfort or help or aid or deliverance from man. And so he brought that up. He was aware of what's going on. And then Isaiah 31, same neighborhood, verse 1. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, and stay on horses, and trust in chariots, because they are many, and in horsemen, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. He had all that they could ever want available to him, but they didn't seek him. And God forbid we ever get like that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We always want to keep relying on God, trusting on him. There's no better. None better. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul referring to many deliverances that God got him and other men that were traveling with Paul out of. Psalm 1, 2 Corinthians 1, verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. What a mindset. You know, they were in some really difficult times, and they looked to God for help, and God gave it to them. Let's go lastly to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 7. Teen. Little delayed actions. 6:17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. God's will is that we trust in the living God. However much money a person may have, it doesn't compare to the riches of, you know, what we have in Christ Jesus, the riches that God makes available to us. You know, money can't make us live forever. You know, it talks about that in Psalm 49. You know, there's no ransom, there's no amount of money that anybody could ever give to pay for their soul to live eternally. I mean, who can do that? How much money? And it says it's too costly. There's no man got enough money to pay for it. But we got it for free with the work of Jesus Christ. But you know, do we trust in our bank accounts? Do we trust in our what we have and say, okay, I'm set because I got this? It's tempting to do that, and in our society, it's almost like pounded in you from a little kid. If you don't do this, you're not going to get that. As far as you don't save for your retirement, then you're not going to eat. I mean, I'm not against any of that. You know, nothing wrong with planning, but to have the trust in that as opposed to God Almighty is the thing. So, how do we trust God? Well, we do know that by believing what God says that He, what He will do for us, what He can do, and believing that, and you know, that's trusting. So, we have none better to trust, and what a privilege it is that we can trust in God Almighty instead of, you know, we're aware of Him, and we don't have to rely on and trust things that are like, at best, way below what God is. There's nothing compared to God. So, we just are privileged people. We don't want to be like Israel, where God says, how come you didn't contact me? You go down to Egypt, and I'm going to do this for you, and you're going down there for help? Alrighty. Call me when you're ready. So, but what a joy it is to be able to know God wants to help us.